This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. The Secretary of State announced some voting policies this week in the run-up to the general election in November. Specifically, you'll have to ask for an absentee ballot application instead of automatically receiving one in the mail.
We're going to let people use a portal where they can apply automatically, and that removes about half of the human touches, and that's where the errors can occur.
That and more coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. A federal oversight agency says MSHA, the Mine Safety and Health Administration, has not done enough to protect coal miners during the pandemic. Cindy Bowles reports.
In a report released Tuesday, the Department of Labor's Inspector General found that state shutdown orders and workforce reductions had created a mine inspection backlog at MSHA, and voluntary safety guidelines the agency had issued might not be enough to keep miners safe. The Inspector General also noted MSHA's failure to track and report coronavirus outbreaks among coal miners, saying it hampered the agency's ability to respond. The IG recommended MSHA monitor its inspection backlog, track infections at mines, and consider issuing mandatory guidelines to keep miners safe. MSHA agreed to consider both recommendations. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles.
WVU Medicine's two Eastern Panhandle hospitals have lifted the zero visitation policy put in place to combat the coronavirus, Liz McCormick reports.
WVU Medicine East announced the policy shift this week. Visitors will now be allowed between noon and 7 p.m. at both Berkeley Medical Center and Jefferson Medical Center. They must be screened upon arrival, wear a mask, and remain in a patient's room for the duration of the visit. Patients are also only allowed one adult visitor per day. Other hospitals in West Virginia began easing their own restrictions, such as Mon Health System and Charleston Area Medical Center Health System, more than a month ago. At that time, the Eastern Panhandle region, specifically Berkeley County, was seeing the highest rate of new coronavirus cases in the state. Recently, Monongalia County has taken that lead with more than 800 coronavirus cases to date, according to the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources. Meanwhile, other hospitals in West Virginia have reinstated their no-visitor policy, such as Boone Memorial Hospital in Madison. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
The West Virginia Public Service Commission is urging a small, failing water utility in Fayette County to consider letting a larger provider take over its water treatment system. Under a bill signed by the governor in March, the commission could force an acquisition if the regulatory agency finds that it's necessary. Here's Emily Allen with more.
The PSC has been investigating the Page Kincaid Public Service District since May 20th. The water utility serves roughly 640 water customers and 400 sewer customers. Commissioners began the investigation nearly a year after two-thirds of Page Kincaid's customers signed a petition detailing the utility's dirty and expensive water.
It's clear that the situation down there is totally unacceptable.
That's PSC Chair Charlotte Lane at a status conference with Page Kincaid Tuesday morning, which the PSC streamed on its website.
And the people in this room have the ability to do something about it.
Earlier this year, West Virginia American Water, one of the state's largest utilities, offered to acquire the local utility's water assets. American Water runs a water treatment site near Page Kincaid's district. The utility also offered to sell Page Kincaid treated water for its customers. Page Kincaid refused both offers. Board members say they would only consider an acquisition if West Virginia American Water offered to take their sewer assets too. Meanwhile, hundreds of West Virginians say they struggle to access consistently clean water during a global pandemic and public health crisis. Here's PSC Chair Charlotte Lane again.
I would advise the board to seriously consider the offers that have been made. I would seriously recommend that West Virginia American Water do its due diligence on the sewer system, and we will be issuing an order soon to consider what needs to be done.
West Virginia American Water said during Tuesday's meeting it is considering taking over Page Kincaid's sewer assets, but it's not ready to make any kind of offer based on the information available. The company did share its plans for repairs if it acquired Page Kincaid's water assets. Here's Vice President of Operations Chris Carew.
The more comprehensive system upgrades that we would do throughout, that we believe are necessary throughout the system, include things such as replacing the meters, the settings, the service lines, upgrading boosters, tanks, and PRVs.
Page Kincaid board member John David said during the meeting he fears an acquisition would result in higher rates. One unresolved issue: Page Kincaid owes the federal government hundreds of thousands of dollars in outstanding fees for past projects. The USDA recently raised the issue with the PSC. To further complicate matters, the local county commission is also petitioning for the removal of all three of Page Kincaid's board members, including David. But during the Tuesday meeting, David told the PSC he thinks there's still hope if the utility remains locally owned.
We feel that we have the capability to operate a really good water system. And I think that we have clearly combined community service, water and sewer together in a very, very poor area to do what needs to be done.
If the PSC did order American Water to take over, it would be their first time doing so since the governor signed a bill granting the body that authority in March. The PSC didn't order Paige Kincaid to do anything during its hearing, but Chair Lane says she expects to issue an order shortly. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
All registered voters in West Virginia will be able to use the ongoing coronavirus pandemic as a reason to get an absentee ballot for the November general election. But a tweak in the process on how voters can access those applications and thus the absentee ballot has revived a debate over voting during the pandemic in the race for West Virginia's Secretary of State. Dave Mistich reports.
Secretary of State Mack Warner announced Monday that all registered voters can use concerns over the coronavirus pandemic as a reason to vote absentee. For the November 3rd general election, Warner says voters will be able to access an application through an online portal beginning August 11th. Voters will also have the option to contact their county clerks and request a ballot by mail, phone, or fax, according to a news release from the Secretary of State's office. The announcement highlights slight but potentially impactful changes in West Virginia's pandemic voting process. Just last week, Warner's office released an after-action review on the state's primary election, in which nearly half of ballots cast were done so absentee. In the lead-up to the state's June 9th primary, which was delayed from its original date of May 12th due to the pandemic, county clerks mailed applications for absentee ballots to all registered voters. Warner says the newly announced process will eliminate opportunities for fraud.
We are going to improve that. We are going to let people use a portal where they can apply automatically, and that removes about half of the human touches, and that's where the errors can occur.
Warner opposes a universal vote-by-mail system for the state, but says he is not opposed to using mail to vote absentee. The difference, he says, is voters taking the step to complete an application for that ballot.
We learned that there's a lot of problems with the mail system. Now, nothing against the mail carriers and the post office. They do a wonderful job. In fact, they advertise, you know, a 96% delivery on-time rate and so forth. And in the usual world, that may be fine. But in the election world, you just can't have 4% or any number of ballots not arriving, by election day or the day after as the with the postmarks and so forth.
Of West Virginia's 1.2 registered voters, more than 262,000 absentee ballots were requested in the June primary. Of those ballots, nearly 225,000 were returned, according to data from the Secretary of State's office.
If we had sent ballots out to all those people, you would have had 800,000 ballots out there. Think of the opportunities for fraud, not to mention the waste and abuse that occurs in that. So I am not a proponent of vote by mail.
But with Warner up for re-election in November, former Secretary of State Natalie Tennant, a Democrat, says any change in the process between the primary and the general election is unnecessary and will confuse voters.
why would you change a good thing? Why wouldn't you build off of something positive? You can't tell me that this is a good thing when voters have to learn something new again.
Tennant is challenging Warner on the November ballot to regain the position as the state's top election official and business administrator. She argues that, given the process during the primary, many voters may be anticipating an absentee ballot application to automatically come to them.
Changing this right in the middle is changing the rules of the game, is making West Virginia take a step backward. It's confusing and it makes it harder to vote.
Warner says Tennant's claim is without merit.
That's a manufactured problem that doesn't exist. We are still a little bit more than three months away from the general election. Look back at the primary. We got started about 2 months out making these decisions and so forth. So we've got a month more.
Mail-in absentee ballots have become a flashpoint for political debate this year, with Democrats pushing for wider access and Republicans arguing the option leads to fraud. In West Virginia, a task force, which included Warner and the state's two federal prosecutors, has landed a guilty plea on an indictment of mail fraud stemming from a postal worker tampering with 8 absentee ballot applications ahead of the primary. However, election security experts agree that fraud from mail-in voting is extremely rare. According to MIT political science professor Charles Stewart, fraud is so infrequent that it's tremendously unlikely to shift the outcome of an election.
I mean, it's going to be like a drop of food dye in a Olympic swimming pool. And whether it's a 50-meter pool or a 25-meter pool, it's still going to be just a really small amount. And that's the evidence.
Stewart says voting by mail during the pandemic has forced many Republican election officials to enact policies that they would have likely not considered under other circumstances.
What happened during the primary was obviously an emergency, and we see a lot of officials, and I would say a significant number of Republicans, such as Mac Warner, undertaking, at some political risk to themselves, undertaking actions that many Republicans normally would not take. For instance, mailing the application to everybody.
But with the pandemic ongoing for some time and voters more used to going out in public and taking care of other business, Stewart believes that more people will actually show up to the polls rather than make use of mail-in absentee ballots in November.
And then it's also going to be the case there's more what's called low propensity voters who are going to inexperienced voters who are not going to know how to, or it's going to be difficult for them to learn how to request the ballot or maybe to plan far enough ahead of time to get the ballot in time for it to be returned on time. So those voters are also going to be more likely to vote in person.
With 2 experienced election officials on the ballot in November, Stewart notes the issues related to mail-in ballots take on a new context. He says the switch from policies before the pandemic to changes in the primary process and now the general are colored by politics.
The point that I'm just trying to make is that as in much of politics, there is no right answer. There are values that are being traded off in a policy decision like this, as in all policy decisions.
West Virginia Public Broadcasting has scheduled a virtual debate for the Secretary of State's race between Warner and Tennant to take place in early September. The event will air on WVPB television stations at a later date. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director is Andrea Billups. I'm your producer and host, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.